we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good Monday to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to 91.5 WMIE FM right here in Cocoa, Florida. My name's Bob Arthurs. I pastor Merritt Assembly of God. We're going to be spending the next half hour together with you, and I pray that you had a marvelous, marvelous weekend. If you get an opportunity, tonight, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night, we've got our kids' convention going on, 6:30 every night. And there's something going on with ice cream tonight. That's all I know. That'll be at the end of the service. But all I know is I'm supposed to have lots of ice cream on hand. So if your kids are coming out, there's plenty of seats available. We've had them a number of times. We never run out of seats yet. But the Lucier family, they do kids camps. They do kids conventions. They did the kids conference at our national gathering several years ago. This is going to be one of the best events. If you're looking for kids, for something for them to do during the week, I encourage you to bring them out to Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street, tonight, Tuesday night, and Wednesday night. You will be glad that they did. I've not had any kid be bored yet in one of their conferences, and so come and be a part of that. We want to give a shout out today to Jits Concrete, 321-536-5804. 321-536-5804. If you need any block work, concrete work, anything like that done, give them a call. They have decades of experience and do a really, really good job. And so I encourage you to come and check them out. If you are planning on any upgrades to your facilities in the days to come. So today I want to talk to you about these declarations that Pastor Craig Groeschel has put together. And we may get through two of these today. We're addressing the ones that have to do with women right now, but they also apply to men. He just put these in the women's category. And the first one that I want to share with you today is, I will love and laugh rather than fight and complain. I will love and laugh rather than fight and complain. Philippians chapter 2, verse number 14 says, do all things without complaining and disputing, that you may become blameless and harmless children of God without fault in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast the word of life, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. And so I, every once in a while, I ask people, how many of you enjoy fighting? You know, And believe it or not, I've had a couple of people through this. Every once in a while, I kind of enjoy a good, you know. And I was like, really? Because I don't enjoy it at all. I don't like contention. I don't like strife. I don't like discord. I mean, if I'm gonna have a dispute, I want it to be something with kingdom purposes. I want it to be, you know, with the devil. I like for things to go along. I like for there to be increase. I like for the kingdom of God to be gaining ground and the kingdom of darkness to be losing ground. That's the only warfare that I enjoy. I don't like having disagreements with my wife. I don't like having disagreements with my kids. I don't like having disagreements with people at church. I don't like having disagreements with neighbors. I just don't like it. I find it to be, you know, quite disruptive, actually. But there are some people who always have something to complain about, and they are willing to fight. Now, I can tell you that as As a parent, one of the things that we realized was you had to know when to pick your battles. You needed to know when to pick your battles. And so we weren't always perfect at this. We learned many things the hard way, but there were also things that we knew we weren't compromising on. If you listened to Friday's broadcast, those things in Galatians chapter 5 that are described as the works of the flesh, those things weren't in dispute. Those things we were going to fight over. If there was going to be any encroachment of the enemy into my household, he was going to have a fight on his hand there, and we were going to do that. We tried to do it as best we could in a biblical way. I don't always succeed in that, but I do have a willingness to stand up for the principles of God's word. Now, I've had some people that have told me, this was another pastor, a friend of mine, and he said, you're more confrontational than I am. And I was like, really? Because I hate confrontation. I really do. And in fact, I mean, if we ever have a confrontation, you can rest assured of this, that I've wrestled with something for a long time before you and I ever have that conversation, because I'm from the Midwest. I have a bit of an easygoing personality while also being extremely driven. So I don't care, you know, what color your hair is, and unless you're my wife, I do have a preference, or I have a dispreference there. but you know, still it's just hair. I mean, it changes. I just don't want to have meaningless arguments. There are people who complain about just about everything. And I've talked about this verse before. I loathe my life, therefore I give free rein to my complaint and voice the bitterness of my soul. And complaining, just for complaining's sake, indicates a lack of contentment with what God has provided. And so, if somebody tells me, say, hey, I don't like your voice. You know, hey, I'm sorry, I can't do anything about that. You're going to have to take that up with God. And literally, I have told people, said, you know what, that's something you're going to have to take up with God. There have been people, they said, this was a couple of decades ago. They said, I don't like that you're so young and you're a pastor. And it's like, you know what, you'd have to take it up with God. He was the one who set my birthday. I didn't have anything to do with my birthday. I just came when he said come. And that's the way that it goes. Some people just like to complain. And I think that the body of Christ should not be so much into complaining. And here's the thing, is when people complain, many times they are there to pick a fight. I was in the office one day. I was literally on my way out of the office, and a person knocked on the door, and I knew who they were. I opened the door. I let them in, and they said, hey, you know what? I was sitting at home. I was bored. And so I thought I would come over and fight with you. And there were things that they believed that I didn't believe, don't believe, still don't believe, will never believe. And so they were coming over to have a verbal fight. And they got really animated and really loud. And I said, you know, I am so sorry that you wasted your time coming over here to fight with me, because I am on my way out the door right now. And you know what? I'm not interested in fighting with you. Not interested in having, you know, this little squabble that you're talking about. You know, you've made your point clear. I've made my point clear, and you have a good day. And I didn't see that person for a long time. One day they showed up at church, and guess what they wanted to do? They wanted to fight. My daughter was standing right there with us while this person was literally there, becoming more and more incensed, and I just tried to share the word of truth with them the best that I could. Now, I will tell you this. If we're going to fight, I'm going to fight to win. I'm not one of these politically correct, you know, fighters. You know, I'm going to fight. I'm going to deal with the issues. So let me just share some of parameters that we have discussed with premarital counseling through the years, or marital counseling. And that is this: if you are dealing with a loved one and you've got a disagreement, and there's one point of view with the husband, one point of view with the wife, you need to do this. You need to stay on topic. You need to fight fair. Okay. And fighting fair means we are going to stick to the issue at hand. We are not going to drag things up from the past that we've already dealt with, that have already been repented of, that have already been forgiven of. That's dragging them up from the past is not of God. That's of the devil. Okay? And so you stay to deal with the issue at hand. The second thing is, if there's a disagreement, then you need to make sure that the sun does not go down on your wrath. I read lots of articles. I deal with health articles. I deal with business articles. I deal with spiritual articles. I read lots and lots of information. And because I do some counseling, I do not do counseling. I do pastoral care. I am not a licensed counselor. I do pastoral care. And so I want to, you know, I want to be the best at that as I can be. And every once in a while, I'll read an article where it talks about how to address these issues. And now people are saying that's not necessarily true. And it's like, look, whenever you go to contradict the word of God, which says don't let the sun go down on your wrath, then I dismiss the rest of the article. You could have some of the most profound points ever, but you're undermining your own credibility whenever you attack the word of God, because God's never wrong. And when he says, don't let the sun go down on your wrath, and other people are saying, well, you know, sometimes you really should do that. I tell a joke that the only way that you can deal with that issue is you either have to make sure that you are dealing with the issue within a few hours, or you've got to move to the part of the earth where the sun is not going down during that particular season. But that's just kind of lighthearted. Deal with it in a timely manner. Deal with it in love, and deal with only the topic that is at hand. Don't use the word always and never and things like that, because always never means always, and never means never. It is just emotion that is coming out, and when emotion starts coming out and you're not dealing with the facts, you are going to find that you're going to create a even bigger problems. You're going to make things worse, not better. Okay? And so rather than complaining and fighting, why don't we focus on this? Why don't we focus on loving and laughing? Which would you rather come home to? Would you rather come home to a house full of people where they are just laughing hysterically because they're enjoying one another's company? Or would you rather come home to yelling and screaming and fussing and feuding and fighting? I don't know about you, but I like the laughter part. I like the loving part better. I worked for a person one time, and they did not believe that Christians should do a whole lot of laughing. They just didn't. And here's what I found. I have found that people who have been through some of the most difficult challenges, that when God brings them through those things and he has removed those burdens from them, they are much more jubilant people than those who maybe haven't been through quite the intensity that these people have. And so Jesus even addressed this one time when there was a two people who were in the room. One considered themselves better than the other. One just considered themselves to be privileged to be in the same house with Jesus, and they began to worship him with abandon, and the other person began to judge that person. And Jesus said, who loves more, the one who is forgiven more or the one who is forgiven less? And the person said, well, I suppose the one who's forgiven more. He said, that's what this woman is doing here. She is loving me because she has been forgiven so much. And yet you don't think that you need much forgiveness at all. And so you are not loving as nearly as much. How great is the Father's love for you? How much love has he given to you? How much has he demonstrated you? Listen, it took the same cross to forgive you of your sins as it took that woman to be forgiven of her sins. Hers might have been a little, how do I want to say it, demonstrative. Yours may be been more a matter of a heart. But it's the same. It took the same shed blood of Jesus Christ to forgive you as it took to forgive her. So you need to love. Love. You know what? I don't know a single person. I really don't. I don't know a single person that is married today that didn't marry because they were in love with someone. And yet the devil will attack that love over and over and over and will try and beat you down and will try and get you to abandon your first love. And God doesn't want that. God doesn't want. So your love will change, you know, between husbands and wives. The manifestation. Listen, you might think that you could never love your spouse more than you do on the day that you got married, but I'm here to tell you that the longer you live with them, love with them, go through life with them, that you're going to find that you love them more now than you did then. But that love will change. It's not always going to manifest in the same way. There was a photo that went viral here not too long ago about a lady who was in a fast food restaurant, and she was just captivated by this husband loving his wife by feeding her because she couldn't feed herself. If you happen to come to Merit Assembly of God on a Sunday morning, you will probably, now, you know, sometimes you're going to have to get there early. You would see a man who's walking the streets, up and down the streets around the neighborhood that our church is in. And he's pushing his wife. He does it every day. Every day he has for a couple of years. And he's in love with that woman. I mean, that's his wife. And he's got some health issues of his own. But every day he's out there pushing his wife. There was a story I read one time about a man who was in a hurry. He was running a little bit late, and so he was a little impatient. And finally, the person said, "You know, where are you going?" He says, "Oh, well, I've got to go have lunch with my wife." And she said, "Oh, will she be upset if you're running a little late?" He said, "No, she hasn't known me for years. She's battling some issues, and she doesn't know who I am." And said, "Well, why are you in such a hurry?" And he said, "Because I know who she is." And so I want to encourage you to love and to laugh. Don't be fighting and complaining. Listen, especially over stupid stuff. The world doesn't want to see the church arguing over the color of carpets, the color of chairs, and all of that sort of stuff. Doesn't want to see us in dispute over genealogies is one of the things, and meaningless things. Listen, it wants to see the church remain on point and remain on mission. And so one of the best ways that we can do that is to love and laugh. And I encourage you, let the joy of the Lord shine through you. It will be worth it all. And 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 1 Corinthians chapter 10. We're going to wrap up this section today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. By the way, is there anybody thankful that we don't lose another hour of sleep anytime soon? So 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse number 31. Therefore, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do to the glory of God. Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God. And his last declaration that we're going to talk about today is, I refuse to waste my life on meaningless things. I refuse to waste my life on meaningless things. You know, one of the great revelations that you will ever find is the purpose that God has for your life. And one of the devil's great strategies is, if he cannot get us sidetracked from our purpose or to abandon our purpose, he will just try and get us to be apathetic towards our purpose. I've told you that one of the pivotal moments in my life was when a person said, "What are you doing now for what God wants you to do in the future?" It was a life-transforming moment. Never saw that lady again. She has no idea whether I ever did anything with that or not. If she's a Christian, she will not know until the day we get to heaven that she had a profound impact on my life, because she said, basically what she told me was this: don't waste your life. Don't waste your time. Do you realize that today, now yesterday you only got 167, or you only got 23 hours yesterday. So this week you only get 167 instead of the normal 168. But everybody gets the same amount of time. You get the exact same amount of time. And yet there are some people who never have time to do anything important, but they've got time to do all sorts of other things. And then there are other people who are constantly on the go, constantly on the go. And you know what I have found? I have found that living your life with purpose brings greater joy than living your life without a purpose. I see people every day in Brevard County that their purpose for the day is to get through to the end of the day. When it comes to night, they can't wait for morning. And when they get up in the morning, they can't wait for the night. That is all they have that they're going. And I'm not talking about people who cannot. I'm talking about people who will not do anything. They have not discovered the purpose that God has for their life. And so when I get done with this broadcast, guess what I'm going to be thinking about? I'm going to be thinking about tonight's service. I'm going to be thinking about the meeting I have tomorrow afternoon. I'm going to be thinking about tomorrow's broadcast. I'm going to be thinking about tomorrow night. There's always something that I have that I am striving for. I'm going to be thinking about the things that I have learned in reading the Bible. So I want to encourage you, don't waste your life on meaningless things. Don't listen, the things that are in the past, if you blew it in the past, then I encourage you, confess those things to God, get them forgiven, and then let them go. Don't waste your life living in the past. A sound mind says, I am going to make the most out of every opportunity. Actually, that's my definition for success. If you want my definition for success, it is not always winning, although I do like to win. If we're going to play something, I want to do my best to win. I might not do it, but I want to do my best. But my definition of success is, did I get the most out of that opportunity that I could have gotten out of it? Because just like we talked about in one of last week's programs about not comparing yourselves with others, I can't compare myself with churches that are running 20 and 30,000. I can't. I mean, for one, that would that would lead me into a failed comparison where I would think that I'm not accomplishing anything. And yet there are people that I'm able to speak into their life on a regular basis and speak words of life and encouragement and transformation. And people every once in a while will say, thank you for that word. And so I can't compare myself with that. That would be an unjust comparison. God positioned them for that. What I'm trying to do is I want to make the most out of this 30 minutes that we spend together so that you can make the most out of the day that you have at work or the day that you have at home, the opportunity that you have to share the love of Jesus Christ with people. I don't want you wasting your life. I want you investing your life, making the most, because there's a day that is coming. Jesus said it in the Word, and I'm telling you, if he said it in the Word, it's coming. There's a day coming when no one's going to be able to work, and then you're going to want to. You know, one time I had this job and I had to work really hard and the company went out of business. And, you know, sometimes you would get up and say, oh, do I have to go into work today? And the answer was yes, because I needed to eat and I needed to pay the rent and all that sort of stuff. And then when that job ended, you know what happened after about a week and a half, I was like, man, I wish I had a job to go to. I tell you, I am so thankful that God has a purpose for your life and for my life. And I'm not going to waste this opportunity. Today is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Make the most out of this day. You never get another chance to utilize this day. So use this day for the glory of God. Use this day to tell others about Jesus. Use this day to grow in your faith. Use this day to love your family. Use this day to enjoy the God who created you and worship him and with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Whatever you do, don't squander this opportunity, but make the most out of it. At work, while you're there, if they give you an assignment, say, you know what, maybe I don't want to do that assignment, but I'm not going to squander this opportunity. I'm going to make the most. I'm going to show them that I'm a team player, that I can do this, and I'm going to do it for the glory of God. I encourage you to do it. That's what it said in that verse I believe we were talking about on Friday, is whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. Here it is. It's actually today, 1 Corinthians 10:31. Do all for the glory of God. Don't squander it. Bring God glory through it. God bless you. Have a marvelous day. Hopefully we'll see you tonight at 6:30. If not, we'll see you next time right here on the Refresh radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like a